In Job, one of the Old Testament's oldest books, we find an artistic structure and elegant style that place it among the great literary masterpieces of all time, according to the New American Bible. And it addresses in a dramatic way the problem of suffering of the innocent. In the book, Job loses everything of worldly importance, family, friends, wealth, and honor. And in today's reading, which is in the middle of Job's attempt to figure out what's happening to him, Job asks the question, is not man's life on earth a drudgery? How many of us have felt that way? And nor do I think I'm alone in the thought pattern of the following sentiment. When we think we are innocent, we ask God, if you love us, your good and obedient children, your just ones, the ones who want to please you, why do we experience pain and suffering? Why are you not shielded from life's trials? Did we do something to offend you? Are we being punished for some unknown transgression? In our time and place, in our human way of thinking, we think that there are answers to everything. And so Job, in that spirit, wishes to speak to God and get an answer for his suffering. God answers Job, not by explaining his suffering, but by cataloging the wonders of God's creation. Job seems content with this, and at the very end of the story, God rewards Job and by restoring his fortune. And like Job, we search for answers to this question of suffering, but sometimes it's just a mystery. It's often just a mystery why we suffer. On the other hand, is it realistic to think that we should not suffer? Our history is full of those who suffered for their faith. Imprisonments, torture, being stripped of all worldly goods are a common story among the lives of early Christians all the way to modern times. Some of our great martyrs and saints were formed in this crucible and offer us a great witness of faith. And for our own lives, I think we can say that we often hold out the hope, based on our faith, that in the pain of life, there is redemption and healing from our moments of strife, and we'll be able to look back and know that something good can come out of a tragedy, even if it's only to go closer to our God, in whom all consolation and wisdom is found. For it is in these times, when we are stripped of all that matters in the world, that we find the only thing that truly matters, God alone. If our goal in life is to grow closer to God, which Christians believe it is, it should be noted that we don't always need pain to draw nearer to Him, to draw us nearer to Him. We don't always have to feel the heat of the drudgery of life, the pain of warfare that is sometimes associated with our struggle to confront evil. Sometimes we can see the light of goodness drawing us in like a moth to a flame, like the light of a fire on a dark moonless night, guiding us home. Sometimes we can follow Jesus' example of following the light like he does, like in today's gospel. After proving his authority over demons, preaching in the synagogue, healing the sick, the everyday work of his ministry, he takes refuge in the quiet, the solitude, and he is fortified. And notice, he doesn't say when the disciples find him, like we might say after a hard day when the kids find us, I was hiding from you. Leave me alone. I'm exhausted. Instead, he says, let's go on to the nearby villages that I may preach there also. For this purpose have I come. So Jesus finds time for quiet contemplation, for prayer, to fortify himself for his purpose in life. Are we following Jesus' example? Are we getting the fortification we need to carry out our mission, as clear as we know it to be for today? Are we at least fulfilling part of our mission in the sharing of the gospel, as Paul reminds us in the second reading? He has an obligation to share it, as do we, if not with our words and with our actions. And let's not be trapped into thinking we are not up to this task, that we can't answer our call. St. John Chrysostom anticipates the kind of excuses we might offer to avoid this call and offers these thoughts from his homily on the Acts of the Apostles. There is nothing colder than a Christian who is not concerned with the salvation of others. Do not say, I cannot help others. For if you are truly Christian, it is impossible not to. Natural objects have properties that cannot be denied. The same is true of what I had just said, because of the nature of a Christian to act in that way. And he goes on to say, if we behave in the correct way, everything else will follow as a natural consequence. The light of Christians cannot be hidden. A lamp shining so brightly cannot be hidden. And what he is saying that is that by our very nature, as professed Christians, we cannot help but fulfill our mission. We have to work against our own nature to fail. But I don't think I'm the only one that, upon hearing the call to preach the gospel, either with words or with my actions, I haven't said, I can't do it. Or worse, I won't do it. I have gone against my own nature. That's why we pray, like Jesus did. We spend time with God, alone, in quiet contemplation. It's so that still small voice can be heard, or in the tugs of our hearts, it can be felt and fortify us. Let us know we're not alone in this call, so that we can live the good news in our homes and carry it to our workplace and to our neighborhoods. In those times, we connect with our true nature. For it's on that path, however haltingly we travel it, that true wealth lies, real truth and real peace are found. It is not in pursuit of what the world has to offer. But it is also in those times when we are alone with God, when we engage in conversation with Him. Now, it may not be as dramatic a conversation as what Job had with Him, but in those conversations, in that communion, it is there that our souls find rest and refreshment, and we get glimpses of how our pain and suffering might lead to a greater good, or simply act as a reminder that whatever we're going through at this moment is only one page or one chapter in the book of our life. It is not the whole story. And that, my friends, is the very good news and worthy of letting the world know about. Amen.